Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of December. The time is 5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, where we discuss the issues of the day with a panel of invited guests. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Our Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp me, +34 645 99 67 95. We are a Christmas-free zone here today. I refuse to be drawn into any festive tomfoolery over the next 1 hour and 55 minutes. You may call me the Grinch if you humbug to you all. That's what I say indeed. Right then. So on today's show, going to be running through a variety of the topics that have been making the news. Obviously, the latest attacks, the terrorist attack in London, the response to that from the political parties. Do we need TV debates? Where, of course, the elections continue. TV debates seem to be the be-all and end-all at the moment. Looking at the fallout from the continuing investigation by TV Panorama last night about further allegations about the private life of Prince Andrew. We'll be looking at the situation in Hong Kong, and also reports that the NATO leaders are gathering for the 70th anniversary. Do we need NATO? Are we heading towards a European private army, do you think? And also a report saying 15-year-olds in the UK significantly less satisfied with their lives. Were you satisfied with your life when you were 15? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE. We might not get to all of them. Don't look so terrified, panel. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me, as I said before, on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studios by, to my left, and I never thought I'd say that in this lifetime, John Harper.
Yeah, very much to your left.
Good to have you with us, John. And Sandy Lenton joins us as well. Morning to you, Sandy.
Hello, Giles. Nice to be back.
952-78-4000, the phone number. But first, we look at what's making the front pages. Several of the front pages in the UK show pictures of a grieving Leanne O'Brien, whose boyfriend, Jack Merritt, 25, died in the London Bridge attack. The Sun describes the emotional scenes as she attended a vigil in Cambridge on Monday for Mr. Merritt and Saskia Jones, who were killed by Usman Khan. That such anguish was caused by a murderer in whom Jack and Saskia had seen hope, writes Belle Mooney in the Daily Mail, made it all the more agonising to witness. The Guardian devotes much of its front page, front cover, to an article by Mr. Merritt's father, David, who criticises those who have jumped on the attack to reinforce the worldview his son fought against. Jack would be seething at his death being used to perpetrate an agenda of hate. He says, focus on rehabilitation, not revenge. Andrew's new TV humiliation is the headline in the Daily Mail, which says the Duke of York is on the rack again after a BBC Panorama special last night. In the programme, his American accuser recounted allegations that she was brought to the UK by the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein when she was 17 to have sex with Prince Andrew. The Mail says there was no smoking gun in her account, but that Mrs. Guthrie, formerly known as Virginia Roberts, did enough to reignite the whole sordid scandal. The Guardian angles the prince is under fresh pressure, while the Sun implores him to fly to the US without delay to be questioned by the FBI. Assuming Andrew is innocent, it says, he should have no difficulty rebutting any claims. The prince has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. Daily Telegraph says Labour is facing further questions about the source of classified documents it released last week, which the party said proved the NHS was on the table in a post-Brexit trade deal with the US. A report by independent researchers suggests the files were published online using methods similar to a Russian disinformation campaign earlier this year. The paper says Labour has not revealed how it obtained the dossier, but the party insists that neither the British nor the American governments have denied its authenticity. The several papers, including the Daily Telegraph, report on a sexism row that's hit the Mr. Men series of children's books. In a recent release, Mr. Men in Scotland, Mr. Clever explains how the Fourth Bridge got its name, prompting Little Miss Curious to ask what happened to the first, second, and third bridges. Mr. Clever then sighs, as the narrator suggests, is going to be a very long day. An academic at the University of Glasgow, Shelby Judge, says the quip was evidence of mansplaining and reinforced ridiculous antiquated gender roles. The publishers have played down her concerns, insisting the characters are simply getting up to their usual antics. Finally, the Eye reports that a Danish artist has won a legal battle to stop one of his paintings being cut into small pieces. The owners of a designer watch company bought the artwork Paris Chic for £70,000 early this year without revealing their plan to chop it up to decorate some of their timepieces. The artist, Tal R, described it as disrespectful and an attempt to make a product out of his creation. A court in Copenhagen agreed that the project was in breach of copyright law. I'm still reading from the Mr. Men story. Meanwhile, webpage of El País, Spanish police arrest the captain of the narco submarine. Authorities have been looking for the man since last week when they intercepted the submersible with 3 tons of cocaine on board. Simon Hunter at El País, who runs the English site, had the brilliant headline Coke Float. Also, Pedro Sanchez at the COP25 climate summit. Only a handful of fanatics deny the evidence. Spain's caretaker government has stepped in to host the event against a global background of weakened environmental leadership. And finally, Madrid Central. Madrid Central reduces pollution by 20% in its first year. The beneficial effects of the low emission zone have extended to other parts of the Spanish capital. But green groups say more restrictive measures are needed. And those are your newspaper headlines in the UK and Spain on this Tuesday, the 3rd of December. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio, your professional. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Sandy Lenton and John Harper. So, panel, here we are again. Another week. Friday, of course, the Capitol ground to a halt, and we had shocking images coming out again of a terrorist attack taking place in London, and the tragic fatalities of 2 young people. What is there to say about this? Once again, we seem to be the authorities seem to be taken surprised by this. There were questions asked because the terrorist seemed to have been imprisoned or had been imprisoned before for a plan to blow up the London Stock Exchange. Where do we take this one from? I'll start. Who wants to kick this one off?
Yeah, I will.
Go on.
I don't understand why terrorists are being allowed to leave prison before the end of their sentence. I think this is one time when the sentence should be served to its full, and afterwards they should be monitored. So anybody that's found guilty of trying to blow up the stock exchange should not have been allowed on the streets of London halfway through his prison sentence. I think that really says it all.
I mean, he'd been. If you do half your sentence, I mean, you're up to review. You think this is just through special cases then, and cases of extreme.
But it's ridiculous to review somebody who's a known terrorist.
You've got to have
lifestyle. It's not somebody that went off the rails and took something out of a shop, or you know, had a fight in the street or something. This is a lifestyle. Somebody wants to actually disrupt, to the very least, disrupt our lives. And I think that they should be given a sentence which they serve to the full.
John?
Yeah, I mean, I think premeditated... Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're fine, you're on.
Okay. I think premeditated murder is certainly something which doesn't deserve remission. I think education... Boris summed it up very well in an interview yesterday. Education for prisoners, excellent idea. Going to try and give them something that they missed when they're earlier in life. But this isn't somebody that went off the rails because he was a council house kid or something. This is somebody that's been radicalised by an extremist religion or doctrine and is coming back for a second chance. I mean, this is not... I just happened to... You know, there are questions. Where did he get two knives from? He's on remand. He's got a tag on his leg. He's been given special ability to be able to come into London at all for that day because he's actually excluded from the London area. Where do the knives come from? Where does he actually get a fake suicide bomb? Who else is involved?
I mean, he's coming to London because he's gone to this conference on the rehabilitation of prisoners, and this is the horrible irony about these people who were working with. This is a conference for people who were working with criminals.
Yeah, and that just shows clearly that whatever the program is, and I'm sure it's good, but you know, rehabilitation of prisoners, yes, but you have to have a certain thing. If you premeditatedly set out to kill people, if you set out to terrorise people, if you set out to maul people, bomb them or whatever like that, you patently are not at least sane. You can say you're not sane, at least, that's the very least. But if you're going to be put in prison for that sort of thing, then certainly... What is more important? I understand the rights of the prisoner and he's got to be able to let out after a certain amount of time. Okay, we have to change that then, because where somebody is a threat to the individuals of our society, they lose their right. They don't have these human rights. Oh, he's got human rights. No, he hasn't got human rights. He threw them away when he set out to kill people.
I think that's more to the point. He actually gave up his rights. They weren't taken away from him. If somebody sets out to murder innocent people that they've never met in the streets of London, then they've clearly decided they're not a member of society any longer.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on, +34 645 99 67 95. I'd like to hear your thoughts on where do we go from here? Was London prepared for this sort of terrorist attack? Or, I mean, they talk about a terrorist attack as say, but I mean, these are just the, you know, one-off individuals. There's no way that you can, in a city of however million that London is, there's no way that you can guarantee that you can stop these sort of attacks from happening.
Well, you can't ever protect yourself from that. I mean, we lived near Harrods for a while, and one of our tenants, who was a newspaper journalist, Geddes, you know, actually got an award trust after him. He was at Harrods that morning. It was a local shopping supermarket when the IRA blew a bomb up outside. And being a journo, and not a terribly smart journo, he ran up to the nearest copper he could find, who was trying to open a boot of the car, and said, "What's happening?" Copper opened the boot of the car, and what was happening was he was becoming front page news. So you're never safe from terrorism. I've lived with that all my life. So what's the problem?
952-78-4000. Good morning, Cordy. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costablanca.
Morning, Kate.
I disagree strongly with the tone of both of your guests. You could say as a black joke that actually he gave up his life to demonstrate their kind of philosophy was working. Because he was being quoted as an example of a reformed prisoner.
Yeah.
And he was, up until that point, and, you know, I take the point about when do you draw the line, but his behaviour had been exemplary. Now, he seems to have decided that he was going to get both two of the people involved in the particular project and to kill them. So there is an argument about how do we ever know when someone is reformed. And the counter to the panel's comments is that in the world, the most successful examples of lack of recidivism, I think is the word, like repeating performance of your crime, is Norway, which we saw a brilliant example of with the political assassinations in the end of the last century, I think. And when, you know, when far-right attempted to assassinate the whole of the Young Socialist Party of Norway. But the way that they treated that man, when it was clear who he had done it and he certainly wasn't repentant, struck me as a very, very civilised way. Anyway.
In what way would you say it was a civilised way? In the fact that they didn't allow him to have his... Because he thought that he was going to start spark a race war by his actions on the island.
Yes, and he was disappointed when he didn't. And he got quite the opposite reaction. No approval, but not the kind that he was wanting. So he's stuck away in Clink, I think, at the moment. But he's got reasonable living conditions. And I think he was complaining that they weren't reasonable enough, which is just sort of a bit of a bloody nerve. But my point is that the way, the attitude behind the, you know, a person's done it, then they should pay the price, doesn't actually solve the problem. How do you actually change? And Norway seems to have a key. And it's by doing what the murdered young man was recommending. And what his father, and you read out the father's comments, the father said, my son would be disgusted to know that his death was being used in to defend exactly the opposite of the kind of approaches that his son believed in.
Thank you very much for the call in there, Kate. John?
Yeah, I mean, two points there, Kate. First off, the lunatic in Norway is actually still in prison. They haven't actually turned around and said, let's let him out to see if he has another go. He's a reformed character now, of course. Nazi salutes in docks are often signs of instability. So that's the first point. And the second point, much as I actually respect very much what the father said and the sentiments in which the father said, it's quite obvious. It's a Cambridge think tank. It's a Cambridge educational program. It's a very, very liberal concept in there. And there is another side on that, which is very simply, if somebody does something which is that makes them a threat to society, as a government, as an authority, as a society, we should have the right to protect the rest of society.
Yeah, but my point against this one is that Boris Johnson is the thing is they're using this as a political club now. I mean, he said, you know, Johnson saying, I will protect, vote Conservative, and this thing won't happen again, because he wouldn't have been let out.
Well, of course he's using it as a political, well, he's a politician.
So, exactly. But a period of, have we reached the stage in UK electioning where all decency goes out the window and they shouldn't be allowed a decent period of mourning and the family's wishes should be respected?
Absolutely.
He would have been attacked if he hadn't made the similar sort of comment. For heaven's sakes, he can't do right for doing right. It was a political statement, whatever. So, and the man's running for election, of course he's going to use it, and it's naive to think he's not going to.
I mean, I've, you know, on social media I say, isn't it, I see tweets saying, isn't it strange how every time we have an election we seem to have a terrorist attack just before it?
Hey, and I was watching last night proposals that people are putting forward that it was actually a false flag event, i.e. set up. Now, I can't see that. Some people have conspiracy theories. Watch it, conspiracy theory warning. Some people were saying that they saw him moving after he'd been shot twice by the copper, which is possibly could have moved after that, but he didn't get up and get carried. He actually got carried away. I think we know he wasn't part of this plan. This is not some sort of cunning plot where, aha, we've turned now the Islamic terrorist into a false flag event in order to actually bring the Conservative Party to policy, to power. That doesn't actually ring totally true to me, but I think it certainly is something where we have to be aware that having all these nice benign, we've got to be nice to people sort of sentiments you'd be nice to your people that are alive out there that aren't breaking the law, that are just wanting to get on with their daily lives. And when you've got a person or an ideology that opposes that, you have to quarantine it. That's as simple as that. You have to quarantine it. In the old days, of course, well, in fact, they did it yesterday. The guy is dead. Okay. There was no second remission on there. The cop had a couple of seconds to decide whether or not the suicide bomb was fake or real.
Yeah.
And there's no argument.
Oh, I don't think anybody's arguing with it at that point at all.
Some people are.
Well, they should have stopped and asked him and said that.
So.
Well, if you remember in the previous London Bridge attacks as well, they were also wearing suicide vests, those three. And if you're a policeman, you're not going to say, excuse me, is that real explosive? Going to go live to the lines then. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, it's John from Leach.
Morning, John.
Hi. The only thing I'm curious about, it'd be a very quick one, please. Now, I've seen virtually no comments, and I know Ironmongers Hall, and I know most of the city. I've worked there all my life. And particularly now, the security's there. How the hell did he get through security in Ironmongers Hall? Fishmongers Hall, sorry, yeah. With knives strapped to his whatever, or carrying knives. I just find that curious that, you know, most places in the city now, you have to go through a protection thing and what have you. But I'm just curious. There's been no comment on that.
I'm presuming there's no metal detector or anything when you come into Fishmongers Hall, though. I mean, I know that, when you're going to go to train stations in London, there's no, as opposed to going through the train stations in Spain now, there are all sort of detectors. I can only assume that they didn't have that at Fishmongers Hall. Yeah. Listening to the vivid reports yesterday from the chairman or the head man at Fishmongers Hall, I mean, I don't know if you've seen that on social media, quite incredible the way that he talked about the way that his staff reacted to the attack and the level of bravery it was shown. And I don't just mean the Polish guy with the narwhal tusk, but throughout, literally people holding doors against this madman with the knives, you know, the cloakroom girls, receptionists battening doors closed while they could make the emergency calls, and the doorman deciding that to avert further bloodshed, he should let this guy out into the street where he was dealt with because he knew that there were police units on the way.
But my only point is really, I'm surprised that he got through in the first place. There's probably going to be a big security thing going there. But any building you go into in the city now is protected in that way. I'm just curious why there's been very little comment on it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave you with that.
Thank you, John. Thank you for your calling there, John.
Yes, John. I came to that one as well. But you know, basically, that had to be somebody assisting him. Normally, for something like that, you'd use cleaners. The cleaners, because they can smuggle the weapons in and the vest and hide it somewhere in the building where he could collect it. I very, very much doubt whether a prisoner on remand, being released from prison, taken to London for the day for a conference while he's on remand and wearing a tag, is going to be able to smuggle that amount of equipment past anybody. I mean, surely the guy wasn't put on a tube train, pop up to London and go rehabilitate yourself in this place. I mean, he had to have been he's a prisoner. He had to have been surely dropped there on remand for that day. He was allowed to London. There's too much that needs to be answered on that.
952-784-3000. Sandy, you're looking...
Well, I was just thinking about the security angle. I lived in the Philippines for 4 years, and there is security at every entrance to every big shop or shopping mall. There are armed guards outside every shop in the street, and yet they still have their own fair share of violent crimes in the Philippines. So it would indicate that security doesn't necessarily stop things happening.
Say that their own fair share of violent crime in the Philippines. That's Duarte saying it. Go out and kill a drug dealer. Right? No. Come on.
952-78-4000. It was the phone number. Back with more Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. Viewpoint Talk Radio, its current affairs program with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. I'm joined in the studio by Sandy Lenton and John Harper. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. And let's go to the WhatsApps first. Talking about the reaction to the terrorist attack in London on Friday. Peter comes in saying, just a point if I may, crime can be a lifestyle. Many dangerous prisoners are released early, believe me. I worked in the National Probation Service. Many schemes are in place to educate people, but funding was cut along with staff. It's been a breaking point for many years, hence the reason I left and went back to being an arborist. US system is totally, UK justice system, excuse me, this is from Cookie, the UK justice system is totally back to front. You get a longer sentence for tax evasion as crime against the state. What security at on fishmongers? There isn't any. I was there last month, says one. And also Richard's come in with, France economy is bad. Trump, I presume that's a news flash from what President Trump has said. He's over in London for the NATO summit, of course, or the NATO celebrations, quote unquote, for 70 years of that particular organization. Christine has come in on the studio at tre.radio to say, the panel today, opening comments, refreshingly simple and sensible. Why can't politicians talk logically simple? Don't overthink it, babe. That's from Christine Shaw. Simples, don't overthink it, babe. I called you many things, Mr. Harper, but never babe. And also this from Michael, who says, the simple answer is to give them 50-year sentences and then let them out after 25 years if they pass the parole board. You like that one, dude?
I like that one, yeah.
The current law need not be changed, which Corbyn would oppose anyway. Regards from Michael. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me +34 645 99 67 95. I didn't go through the main stories or the actual what this is on the front pages of the papers. Guardian kicking off with, Jack would have been livid. His death had been used to further agenda of hate. And also PM denounced over response to tragedy. That's in the front page of The Guardian. Express extinguish hatred with his kindness. That's incredibly moving plea from father grieving for son Jack killed in terror attack. Times, 200 extremists face curb on movement. Metro, so much pain, so much love, but also trafficked for Andrew. Daily Mail, Andrew's new TV humiliation. Telegraph, Corbyn's dossier points to Russians, Labour told to come clean on NHS for sale documents as report suggests Moscow link. This was Jeremy Corbyn holding up this document the other day. Boris talks to the Sun. PM warning on Red Jez's threat to the UK. Corbyn is security risk. The media won't decide this election. You decide. That's not a bad one from them. FT, deregulation with threatening cities' access to market. Brussels warns. And the Daily Star, world's gone PC mad. Snowflakes, Mr. Clevers is a sexist. And don't even get them started onto poor Mr. Tickle. So there you go. So those are your front pages. So, as you see, there seems to be the Guardian was leading with that, Prime Minister denounced every response to tragedy. But what I wanted to look out from that one is where we are in the elections at the moment. There was a lot of talk about TV debates, a lot of talk about the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, not turning up for a debate, a leaders' debate, and, on climate control, on climate change. And he was represented by a block of ice, Michael Gove. And Boris Johnson's father turned up to the debate, the Channel 4 TV debate, and were turned away as it was a leaders debate. And then there was some talk about perhaps Channel 4 needed to have a look at its license to broadcast. Do you think that, I mean, the eye has led on this morning, we won't decide, you do. Do you think we are too far into the politics of the soundbite? Do you think we are too far into, do the TV debates really, really matter when the British parliamentary system and the British elections seem to be getting on, the electorate seem to be getting on pretty well without them until say 5-10 years ago? Panel.
Well, yes, I think we are getting too much information. Both parties are absolutely desperate to win, and they're clearly showing their colours on that one. I don't blame Johnson for not turning up at some of these things, because I think the interviewers, I think without exception, have got a very snide way of interviewing. I would like to see a more open discussion rather than constantly being attacked. That goes for all the parties, and I'm not just saying about Johnson. All of them. They ask a question, they don't get the question answered, and they keep on and on and on about it. We all know what the game is. We'll ask the question and we won't answer. And it's frankly getting very boring. So I would like to have a much more open conversation with people, stopping the sarcasm and cynicism, and trying to get to the bottom of what they really want to know.
Yeah, but you're carrying on along the line that these people actually are able to have just a normal discussion. I mean, they're politicians, and they're misguided. I mean, what we're seeing here is a complete breakdown of the political system as it's been. And you're in a society where you go for it. Why would you go to Channel 4, which is now very much a leftist organisation, as the leader of the Conservative Party, Channel 4, which is very much a Remainer organisation, as the leader of somebody that's trying to take England out of the European Union? Why on earth would you go there to be challenged on climate change when your policy's out there for anybody to see, when England is probably one of the more observant climate change countries? It's bought the whole guns and mucker of it, and it's all brought down. We're on the lowest emissions or whatever that is. Why would you go there when you're going into an ambush? Why? Because Channel 4, to satisfy Channel 4, you're not going to do the electorate. The electorate are not going to vote this election on climate change. Well, actually, so Islington will vote this election on climate change, but the rest of the country, the people up in the north of England, who certainly have helped to remove climate change because all their industry was removed from them in the 80s. So, you know, why they're not going to be deciding this election on climate change, NHS. They're not going to be deciding this election on documents that Corbyn's put up there that actually have nothing in there about the US buying the NHS.
No,
has nothing in there whatsoever. But they don't have to worry about that because most people don't actually read what's on there. They hear the soundbite, that's the problem. And frankly, I've suspected for quite a while that Corbyn is actually trying to lose this election. I really think he's trying to lose it, because I can't think of anybody that would make so many inane statements and policy statements. I mean, I can agree with some of the things that he's said. I think there's some brilliant things in there, but they're not the things you say if you want to get elected in this country, in that country. You just don't do it. You don't turn around and say, oh, well, I'm going to actually take the wealth of people. Because I can tell you that within 15 minutes on December the 13th, if Corbyn is elected into Parliament, everybody will be hitting their offshore account buttons, and the money in the UK will just be transferred somewhere safe while we get rid of this lunatic.
You'll find a lot of money's already gone.
Oh, a lot's already gone. I know that. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, is he trying to lose the election?
Well, I think
it would be perhaps a nice idea to invite some of the top civil servants onto some of these debates, because they're the ones that run the country, regardless of what party is in power. And they're the ones, therefore, that actually see the policies through. And John's wrong when he says that politicians don't answer questions. If you feel as if you're under attack, if you're asked a question which is cynical and you know which way it's going, then you're going to do your damnedest not to answer it. But if you're asked a question which is sensible and researched and it sounds as if you actually want to know the answer, then you will get an answer. And we've both known enough politicians to know that they do speak in proper conversations off record, off microphone. So I just think that the whole tactic, it's very American tactic. It's come in over the last few years. Originally, we had more respect for our politicians. That seems to have gone out the window, not surprisingly. But I just do feel that at the moment, all it is a series of attack and defence rather than a conversation. And I don't think the general public is really getting anything out of it.
Well, it's perhaps the thing, isn't it? I mean, we're not having debates anymore. An interviewer will ask a question. They'll then be filibustered, if you like, by the... And this is the whole thing with Andrew Marr and Boris Johnson over Sunday. It was watching two middle-aged men basically shouting at each other and not listening to each other.
Which is not the way to govern a country, and it's not the way to have a political debate.
And which is why I don't bother even looking at it.
I think I sometimes watch Andrew Marr. I think he's often better than most, but I think this Sunday was pathetic.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. I'd like to hear from you on your thoughts on where we are in terms of the general election and the perception of politicians in the UK and further afield. Listen to Viewpoint on TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me with +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by John Harper. Joined in the studio by John Harper and Sandy Lenton. If you want to get involved with this, with the show, with you for the next hour and 10 minutes on this Tuesday, the 3rd of December. Just looking for something coming in on the Facebook page, but I've because of the wonders of technology, I can't find it now. I was born a Luddite, obviously. I've probably been banned. Yeah, indeed. Thank you for that, John. Right, let's move away from that then. I'll come back to that point. last night's Panorama documentary, a programme on BBC TV, dealt with Prince Andrew and the ongoing fallout from his behaviour. Five women who've accused Jeffrey Epstein of abusing them say Prince Andrew witnessed how people were given massages at the sex offenders' homes. A lawyer for the woman told Panorama he plans to serve subpoenas to force the Duke of York to testify as a witness in all five cases. He says the prince could have important information about sex trafficking. The prince said he did not witness, or suspect any suspicious behavior during a visit to Epstein's homes. A lawyer for the victims of the US financier, David Boies, said one of the things that we've tried is to interview Prince Andrew and to try and get what his explanation is. He was a frequent visitor. They ought to submit to an interview. They ought to talk about it. The subpoenas have been prepared for all five cases and would have to be signed off for a judge once the prince was on US soil. He would then be able to challenge the subpoena in court if he did not want to give evidence. Panorama also uncovered new information about the infamous photo of Prince Andrew with his arm around 17-year-old Virginia Guthrie, then called Virginia Roberts. It says that she, the Prince Epstein, and his then girlfriend, the socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, went to Tramp nightclub in London. She said that on the way back, Ghislaine tells me that I have to do for Andrew what I do for Jeffrey, and that just made me sick. I then got back to the house. She said she asked Epstein to take a picture of her to show her family. She then carried out her instructions to entertain the priest. Well, there was a bath, and it started there, and it led into the bedroom, and it didn't last very long, the entire procedure. It was disgusting. He wasn't me or anything, but he got up and said thanks and walked out. And she said, it's a real photo. Prince Andrew emphatically denies any form of sexual contact or relationship with Virginia and says any claim to the contrary is false and without foundation. He says he has no recollection of ever meeting her. Panel, do you think that Prince Andrew will? The son said he should go to the States, testify, and he will see. He'll be seen to be proved innocent.
All right, first of all, I don't have anything particularly nice to say about Prince Andrew, but he's the prince of the country, and that's the end of it. I think he's arrogant and silly. However, I do not understand why everybody is so intent on finding out who he sleeps with. The girl that we're talking about, 17, she was over the age of consent. That's the first thing.
For the UK.
She was in the UK. She was under the laws of the UK. Prince Andrew and the rest of the royal family must meet thousands of people on a daily basis, and for them to remember one person, whether he got into bed with her or not, I would imagine would be quite unusual. He was a single man. Whatever he does in the bedroom, I rather think it's up to him. As for saying that he should have witnessed massages going on, I don't know about you. I've been to places where my friends got massage tables, and I've never seen anybody being massaged because it tends to happen in private. It doesn't happen in the sitting room or the kitchen.
The problem is here that Virginia is saying that she was trafficked. She's saying she's been trafficked and she's been put, but if you'd like, she's been provided for Prince Andrew and she's got no say in the matter.
Yeah, that doesn't mean to say that Prince Andrew had any knowledge of it.
Let's say Prince Andrew would not have known that she was trafficked. I mean, people introduced Prince Andrew and the other princes and the rest of the royal family to people for all sorts of reasons, and they're used to that. Nobody comes up and says, I've got a young prostitute for you to have trafficked from America. I do find it a bit strange that somebody of 17 was trafficked from America to England. Presumably she has a passport. She had no opportunity to speak to anybody to say that she didn't want to go where she was going. She speaks English. She came from an English-speaking country to England. And she went to tramp, yeah. I think this is all to do with money. The woman, lawyers I heard on the Breakfast TV programme this morning, was boasting about the fact she'd taken 58 million off a billionaire for a similar incident, and she is absolutely on the route of taking a load of money off whoever she can get it from, whether it's Epstein's estate or Prince Andrew. I honestly think that the thing has been blown up out of all proportion. And to call somebody trafficked when she's coming from America to England, it tends to take the spotlight off much younger people who really are being trafficked, who are being kidnapped from villages in Southeast Asia and Africa. These children are being put into camps. They're being fed drugs. So they do whatever they're told to do. They're not paid anything. They're not taken by private jet. They're not taken to private islands. They're not taken to tramp. They are not paid anything for their sex. And those are true sex slaves. This girl might have been a silly girl who thought she was going on a party and she got in slightly deeper than she thought she was going to. And now some clever lawyer has told her if she plays it up, she might get a lot of money. And 58 million is a lot of money.
952-78-4000 going live to the lines. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, I can't believe the naivety of Sandy and John. I just find, because it's the British royal family, John, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'll know that royal families are behind the scenes are pretty dark and they have a hell of a lot of influence on political decision making. And this spoilt brat of a royal, I've got a lot of respect for the Queen, I've got a lot of respect for Princess Anne, I'm not anti-royal, but on this occasion I find your naivety breathtaking. Yes, Sandy, you are right, that of course there are, you know, Southeast Asia and Africa, I know all about that too, and that has to be given more limelight, if you like, but just because he's a British prince, anything British goes, he can be as corrupt as he wants to be, but because he's a British prince, he's in the royal family, for God's sake. There's this sense of entitlement, this spoilt brat. And what worries me is the Queen, who's always had brilliant judgment. He's supposed to be her favourite son. So it's just as though there's none so blind as those that won't see. But thank you.
Sharon, I'll come in on that and say I actually didn't get to say too much of what I was going to say because I knew this was Sandy's question, so to speak. But I mean, I am not a supporter of the royal family. I respect the fact that they're there and they're quite good for tourism, and there are historic reasons why they're there, but I don't give them any sort of credence that you would say that I was giving them. I don't. If you're given a lot's expected, and he is a royal prince, and a lot should have been expected from him, but because it's a tradition that royalty can get away with anything, he's got away. He's primarily got away with a lot of things. I think we also have to look at the fact that it's a very interesting diversion from the Epstein situation. Or should I say Epstein? I don't know.
What's that, John?
What's that?
He's part of the Epstein situation.
That's what I mean. And by bringing up a royal prince, they've played a trump card. So, oh, sorry, that's a terrible thing to say. They played an ace card in that you can't challenge royal princes. Oh, they're royal princes. That will shut them up. And what I want is to get much more dug into who else was there. And I'm not, you know, the girl was 17. She was in England. She was legal. What Andrew does as an individual is totally up to him. He's got caught out, he's been brought to the front, he's now there, he's actually ruined his career interest, he's got billions of dollars that have just gone out the window in sponsorship.
I hope so, because I absolutely don't want to see the guy again.
Precisely. And that, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, this is really worrying, Sharon, we agree with each other.
I know.
But I mean, you know, the fact is, the really important fact is, what are they, if they're drawing your attention, you know, when they take your attention into one particular area, especially when it's away from
it's
America.
Distraction,
precisely. So let's not do that. Let's actually just say, okay, fine. He is one. Now, who else has been on? Epstein was probably a Mossad agent. He was probably a Mossad agent. But he was definitely an intelligence asset for the Americans. And he was known for, or it is reputed, that he blackmailed people by getting them into compromising situations. So let's bring that out, because that's what we want to expose. We want to expose this filth that is out there, this swamp that is out there, that has no respect for human life whatsoever.
So you don't think Prince Andrew should go to court then?
Oh, I do. I think he can go to court because he's got evidence to give. Whether he's committed an offence is a different thing.
But it should go to court, John.
It should. The man's a fool in the... I don't call people fools, but the man's not very sensible. If he'd have turned round and done the old blackmail thing, you know, what are you going to pay me for these photos? Well, I'll have 10 of those and 8 of those. If he'd have turned up and said, look, as Sandy said, I'm a single guy, I made a mistake, I'm really sorry about that, and not denied it, but denying it.
Well, you might actually not have been there, John. It is quite possible that she's not telling the truth.
Well,
it's quite possible.
Then, if that's the case, you'd want to go to court, wouldn't you? You'd want to go to court and prove it.
He has actually said that he would comply with any requests from the police.
Sharon,
but he won't be forced to. And there are other women saying the same thing, Sandy. So you know,
get on the bandwagon as well and say it. I was there too.
Well,
let's all join in. You know, who are you going to?
Yeah, well,
why
wouldn't you? If you were one of those women who was trafficked, why wouldn't you? And some of them may have been trafficked.
Well, I think we're using the word trafficked differently.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
I don't think we are, but we have to disagree on that one.
Yeah, well, she was being paid, so a lot of trafficked girls are not being paid anything at all.
No, that's true.
She was put on a plane from America.
Anyway, thanks for that.
She was taken to Trump.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Nice
there. Thanks. We've got another call waiting. Morning call. You're live on TRE.
Okay, Costa Blanca. Unusually, I want to officially disagree with Sharon and defend Sandy's lack of naivety. I'm slightly bothered that everyone's made the presumption that he is guilty of this case. Presumption of innocence should hold. She, as Sandy was talking about, there's money in this. She stands to gain a great deal of money. And you normally don't presume that anything someone says is true. You see what the evidence is. Now, I think Andrew's business affairs probably need much more looking into. Recently, I heard, like in the last couple of days, that he was giving private deals to, as the ambassador for trade or something like that, to friends who are gaining from privileged information. I mean, that's the kind of thing that is serious corruption. A girl of 17 ought to have more sense than to just be starstruck by meeting
But 17-year-old girl.
What did she think she was going to be there for?
Well, you know, the tour of London or the Tower of London.
You see what I mean? I knew that kind of thing from about 13 onwards. You pick up from conversations in school, you know, even if your parents don't give you explicit advice and be careful about strangers and watch who you're mixing with, that kind of thing. But you know the context of this. So, you know, it's the presumption of innocence is would be quite a useful return to things. Oh, and I wanted to say quickly say that Sandy's earlier point about getting civil servants to debate points would be much, much more profitable. You could get some people to talk openly about the pros and cons of different bits of the manifestos, and it would be a hell of a lot more illuminating.
Thank you for the calling. Got another caller on the line. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, hello, Shirley here from Calahander. I have to agree 100% with Sandy. The girl knew what she was doing. She was told, in her own words, do what you for the prince, what you do for Geoffrey. Now, he's an old man as well. You know, I suppose she means the other chap. You know. But the prince made a big mistake. If he had got on television and said, yes, I slept with her, I thought I was sleeping with a 20-year-old prostitute, and I'm a single guy, and I can do what I like. He was wrong to deny it, but he should have just owned up to it, because at the end of that, you know, what's to say about that? He's right, he's a single guy, and he can sleep. How many people sleep with prostitutes? Come on. I 100% agree with Sandy. It was an all put up job.
Thank you for your call in there, Shirley. So, Sandy, this consensus of opinion is...
This is lovely, and I'm so pleased to finally agree with Kate on something. Thank you, Kate.
952-784-7. Got another call on the line. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Well, it's John from Los Palitos.
Yes, John.
I think, you know, virtually the whole of the UK public think he was lying anyway, but... And the lady was right, he denied it, and that was probably part of his crime. But what's broken in the UK is much, much more important than this, is that they've all been looking after his dodgy dealings, and the bank from Luxembourg, and this has been going on for yonks, Luxembourg back to the British Virgin Islands, because everybody wondered where he got all his money. And that's going to break. And we've had recently... the lady from Malta, the Maltese Prime Minister's going when the lady who was car was blown up. That's breaking news. We've had the Panama Papers and the Paradise Papers for 3 years now, which was revealed. And by the way, I'll have a go to Steve Ritz about this and maybe yourself. I think every journalist worth his salt should be following the ICIJ, which I follow for years, which reveal these things, and also Tax Justice Network, because this network of basically thieves, the robber barons, going, unfortunately, by the EU. They say, I'm a socialist, but I can't support the EU because they facilitate a lot of this. And the UK, as we know, 50% of the world's hidden wealth, not necessarily all British, is controlled by the British Virgin Islands, the Cayman Islands, and any offshore. We actually facilitated ourselves. And the trouble is, it's virtually all owned by rich and powerful people. And and Andrew is obviously involved in this via this guy who uses Luxembourg, which many of them do. It's going to break news, but definitely, Giles, you should follow ICIJ and Tax Justice Network.
Will do, John. Right, those bongos mean we come to the end of the first half of Viewpoints, international and national news, and then back for a second half.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined in the studio by Sandy Lenton and John Harper. 952-784-4000, the phone number. studio@tre.radio, the email. Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 07905 996795. We've been discussing the London terror attacks, the ongoing UK election campaigning, electioneering, and the fallout from last night's Panorama programme with Prince Andrew's accuser. Going to the email, going to the, sorry, the WhatsApps, +34645 996795. Starting with Diane from Mallorca, your lady panellist has got it 1,000% right, 100% right, excuse me, she should be on TV.
Finally.
Finally, yes, there you go then. Now, from Ken in Wicklow, subpoena will not end well as Prince Andrew's memory is not great. The BBC reports this morning that 100 rapes a day in India. Aren't there more important matters? Another one in from Cookie. The Andrew is guilty. About some time someone called them out. I am astonished at Sandy's reaction. So easy to bash the women. Andrew was friends with a sex offender and a paedophile. Then again, Jimmy Savile was a friend of the royals. What we've got? The laugh out loud. Did John just say the royal family brings us in tourism? Yes, she knew why she was there. I don't believe her innocence, but equally, Randy Andy is a creep, excuse me. And also, oh, the rich and powerful hide their wealth to protect it. Who knew? Sharp as a marble. We've got a caller on the line. Just one second, caller. We'll just go get you live on 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
James Moore, ringing from Costa Blanca.
Good morning to you.
Sandy is quite correct. Now, I'm an Irish nationalist, so the royalty wouldn't mean much to me. And I would say about Andrew that he did have the Lero D to get into an aircraft and fight for his country. And when that young girl came over from America, she's just simply a young prostitute. A 17-year-old knows what she's doing. And what Andrew did, if he did it, is questionable, of course, was wrong. But did, at the commencement of the act, did she turn around and say, oh, by the way, I've been trafficked from America and I'm 17 years of age. I'm a little girl. I'm sorry. Are you going to do this terrible thing to me? I don't think so. That's all I've got to say. And as I say, Lero D, by the way, is Irish for a certain part of the anatomy of a male.
Thank you very much for that call, and we learn something new every day, Jay. But thank you, for your call, and then I'll try not to Google it because I'm afraid of what might come up.
I love learning new things. Yes, she prostitute, maybe not. Call girl, yes, she was being paid to be friends with people. And if I go back to the 80s, I can tell you that, and I did a lot of sales promotion work in the 70s and 80s, and I can tell you that most of the big companies in the UK at that time were using girls for that sort of reason. They were not being told, you're being paid to sleep with our clients, but they were being paid more than the average wage, and they were being told to be nice to their clients. From that, it was up to them how far they went.
Okay. We've got callers on the line again, 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. My name's Joan. I don't think there's any doubt about or whether he slept with her or whether he did or whether he didn't. But the doubt should be on his business dealings. I mean, he said he was friends with Epstein to get for business contacts. Well, I'm sorry, but somebody like Prince Andrew just has to pick up the phone to Goldman Sachs or whoever, and he will get the best contacts and financial contacts he needs. He doesn't need to mix with sordid paedophiles. I mean, okay, the scandal was shown on TV because it's a little bit of salaciousness and everybody's interested in that. And okay, he could be called as a witness against the Epstein matter. But I think they should concentrate on his business dealings.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Joe. Another call on the line, 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Morning. I'm stunned the amount of the opinions from the amount of women on your panel this morning and from your calls and your WhatsApps. Not 5 minutes ago, we had a Me Too movement, and a woman was to be believed no matter what. And if this was Trump doing this, or someone like Trump, it would be completely the reverse. Now, where are all the liberals? Where are all the Hollywood elites that were screaming that these women were being abused by these men? Why has it gone so quiet? Why is the media so quiet on this one?
Well, the media's
Prince
not so,
Andrew.
The media's not quiet. It's in the front page of most of the papers today, Peter.
Yeah, but you're missing the point there, Giles. The thing is, we've got an election coming up. This will be off the papers next week. I don't know if you saw, but there was a reporter on, I think she was worked for ABC. She was caught on a hot mic and a hot camera. And she sat there. She was talking to someone, didn't know the cameras were rolling. And she was talking about this story. And she said she'd had this story for over 3 years. I've known about it for over 3 years. She'd had this story for over 3 years. She'd been trying to get an interview. And ABC would not run with it. And they said, quite simply, we cannot run with it because the royals won't allow us. We will never get another quote from the royals again. We'll never get another interview from the royals again. This is what happened. You think the BBC can just grab hold of Andrew and have an interview? They have to go through the royalty. They have to go through the right channels. He has to be briefed on the questions he's going to be asked. They're going to make it look a little bit tough, but the guy's going to breeze through it, and we're all going to have this stupid discussion. I mean, isn't that a woman that's saying, oh, she's a 17-year-old girl? Well, I've got a daughter who's 40, and my granddaughter won't be far off of 17, and I had a daughter who was 17. And if my daughter, I don't think, she can't vote for a start in the UK at 17. So there's different levels of maturity, and certain girls are very vulnerable, and some are not so vulnerable. We all know they make their choices, but some are unable to make those choices. But he's a representative of the UK. He's a representative of the royal family. He's a representative of many organisations and businesses. Has he got no moral compass? Forget that the Epstein thing. Forget the flight records. Forget the fact that he was a billionaire and no one knew where his money could come from. Forget the fact that he was probably killed in prison, or even if he wasn't, how did he get to that point of killing himself? To get the point of maybe it was Mossad or some other intelligence services. If you go to Washington and look at all the big houses in Washington, they're all the lobbyists. Someone has got information on some very powerful people, whether it's an intelligence agency or not. It really needs to come out, but it never will come out. This will keep happening. They will keep getting away with it, and they will keep screwing us, literally screwing us, because there's information on them, and they have to bend over, literally bend over. But Prince Andrew has daughters older than this girl. Regardless of whether it was legal or not legal, has he got no moral compass? And like I said, where are these Me Too people? They were screaming not 5 minutes ago that the girl is to be believed and that the men shouldn't behave like this and he shouldn't put his arm around her. How come Prince Andrew's getting away with it? Huh?
Peter, good points. Well made as always, my friend. Thanks for the call in. 952-78-4000. Another caller on the line. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Sorry, it's Cookie. Morning. Sorry, I've been driving and I've actually had to pull over because I feel physically sick from the reactions from Sandy and the other Irish guy that's just phoned up. When you are trafficked and you're in this vulnerable position, they control you. They control you with everything. They don't let you out of their sight. Okay, and to say that she knew what she was doing, no, she was coerced into doing that. She had no option of escaping, no option of talking to anybody. She was controlled. And I'm just sorry, I physically feel sick from the comments that these people are making about this woman. And Andrew should be accountable. He should be questioned by the FBI. If he is innocent, okay, as he's proclaiming that he is, he should have nothing to hide, and he should be saying, right, where do I need to go and who do I need to speak to clear my name? The reason why he's not doing it is because he's guilty. That's all I have to say about the matter.
Cookie, thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Panel.
Yeah, Cookie, I kind of half can agree with most of what you said there. I mean, the guy's a royal, so therefore he has a royal protection squad that will have monitored every single thing he's done over, well, since he's been out there. He's always got protection with him, his royalty. So there's somebody that's got a police logbook somewhere from the special protection group, which would show exactly where he was right the way through that period. So if he's actually innocent of this, he should be able to bring forward actual police evidence that would determine that he was not possibly in that place at that time with that person.
Sandy?
I just would like to say that, actually, I'm not sure what you're talking about, this crime, because to have sex with a girl over the age of consent in England is no crime. Now, if we're going to talk about Andrew's business dealings, that's a completely different thing. The girl was not trafficked in the way that trafficking takes place in other parts of the world. She came on a flight. She had people she could speak to, pass a note to. If she was terrified, she could have passed a note at any time. Immigration spoke to her when she came into the country. Customs spoke to her when she came into the country.
As Cookie said, she was coerced. She's 17, she's being coerced, but allegedly by Ghislaine Maxwell.
But she's being coerced by money.
952-78-4000, going live to the lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
That me?
Yes, indeed, you, madam.
Okay, my WhatsApp seems to have gone astray, huh? So I think nobody's picking up on the fact that she said he sweated a lot, and he said he can't sweat. Isn't that easily proved or disproved?
It's proved and proved. But as I said, if he slept with a girl of over 17, he did not commit a crime. So shall we talk about what everybody's really on about, which is where he gets his money from? And why was he friends with Epstein?
Yeah, but the whole thing is whether she is lying or whether he is lying.
I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. There was no crime.
It does.
So a girl says, I slept with a man, and the man says, I didn't.
No. Well, yes.
Let's take the personalities out of it. It was a man and a girl. A girl of over 17 who is legally over the age of consent in England.
But listen, if he can't sweat, then she is absolutely lying.
Well, maybe she's lying, maybe he's lying. There is no crime. That's the point. There is no crime. He's stupid. If he actually was there, he's very stupid not to have stood up and said, listen, my nickname's Randy Andy. It has been since I was about 16. I was not married to anybody at the time. I'm a single guy. I can frankly sleep with whomever I want, so long as they're of a legal age. He didn't say that. Maybe, just maybe, he didn't sleep with her.
Well,
yeah, it's possible. Two people are telling two different stories. One of them is telling a lie. It may be that it's the girl who's telling a lie. And the reason that the Me Too people aren't on this is because they're of a much younger age. And all of the women who've been on this morning agreeing with me, I haven't met them, but I would guess from their voices that they are mature women and they've been around a little bit.
952-78-4000, thank you for calling. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, this is Margaret. I would think it's rather logical that Andy is lying and not her, viewing of the circumstances on all the evidence of seeing him through the door and everything else. But for me, the most interesting part is the photograph where Mr. Trump is there with in the picture. And we know how Mr. Trump thinks. So if I was writing a book and had a plot where somebody committed suicide, I would make it that he was in fact killed by, in order of the president, because he is the one who's got most to lose in this whole case. That's my viewpoint.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Let's go to the WhatsApps then, because there's quite a few come in here. Right then, this one in saying, hi, Giles, Prince Andrew is stupid. He's made himself to look a liar on the TV show. Did anyone believe his account? I think not. That's from Peter and Ben Amadna. David, hi there. Where is the evidence that Epstein was a Mossad agent?
I wanted that one.
All right, thank you very much for that. Cynthia, obviously sure, Cynthia's been on just a minute ago about the sweating issue. Okay, then. Plenty of things she could have done. Gorge his eyes out, bite his thing off. After all, the pen is mightier than the sword. His perspiration's already been proven. He gets his money from the British taxpayer, who is still stupid enough to pay them. This one in from Jay. Well said, Cookie. So much for sisterhood. I'm also sitting here listening in amazement. She was a naive 17-year-old. Hi from Sharon. Once upon a time...
say something. I need to say something. John, who's sitting next to me, has a daughter who's just turned 18. I want to ask you, John, could your daughter leave your house, go to the airport, get her passport, go to the airport, get on a plane with people that you don't know, travel halfway across the world, go to parties, go to somebody's house that you don't know? Could she do that?
No, not
right.
Yet.
So are you a responsible parent?
Yeah, I guess so. I
would guess you are, because she couldn't. And I don't know any naive 17-year-old brought up with protective family influences who could have got herself to the airport and got on a plane and got there. Where were her parents?
952-78-4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Michael.
Morning, Michael.
One thing here is we're talking about she's over the age of 17, so it's not illegal. That's only if it's consensual.
Sorry, you're saying if it's not illegal if it's consensual?
Yeah, what I'm saying is your guest there today is saying she's 17, so it's not illegal to have sex with her. Only if it's consensual sex.
Doesn't matter how old you are, at the age of 70, if it's not consensual, it's not consensual, it's rape.
But that's what I'm saying.
Nobody said it was rape. She hasn't said he's raped her. She said she did it quite willingly, because she was told by Ghislaine Maxwell to do what she does for the other guy.
No, that doesn't necessarily mean she was willing to do it. You don't know how naive she is. You don't know anything about her parents.
I have just actually said that a naive 17-year-old coming from a decent family background where the parents take care of her would not be able to leave her home, go to the airport...
You don't know anything about her. You don't know what her background is at all. You don't know... I saw her father on the television today, and he doesn't seem to be like a particularly caring father. He seems to be someone who's jumping on the bandwagon. I think she lived in a, and I can only think the same as you can, is that she came from a family. You know, what I'm going to say is that a lot of them of these Jerry Springer type families, where where they go on these shows and they're not really that caring. They don't know where their kids are. They're not like us. They don't take a track on their kids. And I think, in my opinion, that she was groomed for the purposes which she was using. And I don't think it was consensual in the term that we would normally say is consensual sex.
Even getting a passport at the age of 17, she couldn't have left America without a passport.
We know she did, but it doesn't mean to say that she's not being forced to do it in some way. Not necessarily with money or whatever. There are these girls who are very naive and can get coerced into this stuff.
Thanks very much for the call in. I'm going to another call on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Sean from
Pointerella,
and good morning to my friends John, and good morning to Sandy. Thanks for all the sensible comments. As always, I would strongly suggest that if we want further light on Virginia Roberts, why don't we try and find out a bit about her history? Well, I just did that, and it's quite useful, as is so often the case, because there was a deposition which was unsealed in August, just last August, and in it, Virginia recalls the precise moment when the door to childhood closed behind her. Just a quick bit of background. Born in California, mother Lynn worked as a banker in Sacramento. She moved with her parents to Palm Beach County, Florida, when she was 4 years old. No indication of parental separation at this point. When she was 16, she got a job at the spa at, wait for it, and this is coming from the biggest Donald Trump supporter on the planet, as you know, at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. I will always use information that goes against my own political likings, where her father worked in maintenance. There we are. So, in fact, her parents were still together. It wasn't a broken home. Dad worked in maintenance. Where in the spa were you when you were approached by Ghislaine Maxwell, I should say Ghislaine, I believe, when she was asked, in the deposition. This was a reference, of course, to Epstein's gal pal and alleged sex slave recruiter, the socialite daughter of publishing tycoon Robert Maxwell. Just outside the locker room, sitting where the other girl who works there usually sits, Virginia replied. I was reading a book on massage therapy. Maxwell looked at the book and at her with great interest. I started to have chit-chat with her just about, you know, the body and the anatomy and how I was interested in it. And she told me that she knew somebody that was looking for a traveling masseur. If the guy likes you, then, you know, it will work out for you. You'll travel, you'll make good money. Epstein would want more than massages for that good money. The training started immediately. Everything from dot, 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 how to be subservient. You're just thrown into a world you don't understand, said Virginia. You're screaming on the inside and you don't know how to let it come out. You just become this numb figure. Soon enough, Epstein was passing her around as a plaything to his well-heeled buddies, including, she will continue to insist in Monday's BBC broadcast, to Prince Andrew.
Right.
He knows what happened. I know what happened, despite Andrew's denials of ever having met her, Virginia insists in an advance clip from Panorama, The Prince and the Epstein Scandal, and there's only one of us telling the truth. The point that I would make in general is that all of these people are less than perfect. I suppose all of us are anyway. Some of them, to put it really mildly, I think Andrew personally is as bad as anyone on this program has said. I have no time for him at all. I've actually met him twice, as it happens, but only very briefly. But I do think it puts it in perspective, because the question that was in my mind over this whole episode was, how old was Virginia Roberts, as she then was, when she got ensnared or got involved with Epstein? And we have our answer, yes. A 16-year-old.
So, yeah, 16, 17, but it sounds like classic type of kind of how she gets instead of being a high-class cool girl rather than anything else, if you get money.
But the point is, by the time that she was introduced to Andrew, introduced rather euphemistically, she was already an experienced employee, for want of a better word, of Epstein, and her job was to do pretty much whatever Epstein's friends wanted her to do.
Sure. Got other calls online, but thank you very much for calling us some background there. 952-784-1000, morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Is this me?
This is you indeed.
Yes, hello. Just one point I'd like to make. Everyone's going on about 17-year-olds being coerced and everything, but no one has any sympathy for this young 15-year-old who was radicalized and went off to Syria to a very violent society, lost three children, and then wanted to come home. And everybody was saying, no, 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 she knew what she was doing at 15. That's the only point I have to make. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that call-in. 952-784-1000 is the phone number.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, sometimes more lively than others. 952-784-1000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Straight to the lines. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I thought you'd never get to that one. It's John Dodd.
Morning, John.
Well, as a man of the world, I've owned an aeroplane. A twin-engine aeroplane, I think everybody knows. But the thing is, this man was running around in a Grumman Gulfstream. I mean, this is a big baby, a 79, I think 69 minions. And the thing is, he did, landing at London Airport, I mean, must have left a trail, and all the people he was taking in, I bet there wasn't more than one. The prince wasn't on his own. I think he must have been had two other people on board the aeroplane, but obviously money was no object, but that aeroplane's got a registration. And I think everybody knows who needed to know.
Just John. Thank you for the thank you for your call in. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Morning call, you're live on TRE.
Hello.
Thank,
hello. Hello. Hi, is that me, John?
It isn't you. It is indeed you.
Hi, it's Bertha here from Computer. I personally think that this is a Clinton moment for Andrew. He didn't have sex with that woman. Clinton didn't have sex with that woman. But what really worries me about the whole thing is the blackmail aspect of it. The undermining of the royal family as an institution in Britain. I don't think enough is being said about Ghislaine Maxwell's connection with the Mossad. I think that if this kind of blackmail syndicate, and I call it a syndicate because I think it's global, I think if it can infiltrate to this level, I think we need to be focused on how our governments and high officials, politicians, people of power are on that list. And it looks as if it might be in some way controlling events in the world. There's far too much emphasis on the sexual side of this issue and not enough emphasis and investigation being carried out on the Maxwell connection.
Thank you.
In my opinion.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-784-4000. We're live for the next 23 minutes or so. John, you seem to be itching to get on the mic again.
Yeah, only because that guy. Somebody, Mossad.
Tell me about Mossad.
If there's any evidence that somebody's a Mossad agent, then they're not a Mossad agent anymore.
How do you know if you're not a Mossad agent? You don't know if you're not a Mossad agent.
That's it. You don't know if you're not a Mossad agent. You've either banged up somewhere else or you're dead. It's one of those organisations you leave and you don't. You join, but you can never check out.
It's the Hotel California intelligence services.
Right, yeah. apart from that, I totally agree with that lady. The main issue here is blackmail and draining the swamp and all the rat. And it's very interesting that Sean there brought up that Mar-a-Lago was where this young lady actually started off learning her Mashu tendencies, although there's no accusation or evidence that Mar-a-Lago was going to be involved in anything like that. So, you know, that's one way or the other. This is going to be really crazy, but I actually really suspected from the start that Epstein was never killed, that he's been spirited away in order to be brought forward with the evidence when they go on to there. So I'll shut up on that.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning.
Oh, sorry, hang on a second. I just cut you off in front. Hang on, sorry, let me just... I've just got so excited there. Right. Oh, for goodness sake. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Giles. Brian here. Lost
morning, Brian. Sorry about that. I have a technical issue there.
I missed about 15 minutes to a call I had from Australia, so I hope this might have been mentioned already before. But, yes, I do agree about the blackmail aspect to some extent, but where my sympathy doesn't lie with Andrew is the fact that he became, let's say this didn't happen, any sex relationship or anything like that or any other thing, what these people get up to these days, but my thought is this is two things. One, he knew damn well when he went to stay with him after many occasions already that he'd been convicted of what he was convicted of. At least he'd been alleged to have done, you know, that was a well-known fact. Then he was convicted for it, which is underage sex with children. Now, if Andrew stayed with him, which he did with that knowledge, and he must have had that knowledge, he made a big, big dramatic mistake there. And that's where he loses my sympathy. And the other thing is, as you know, it's been reported that he did have his police, you know, his bodyguard. They all have bodyguards, no matter where they go. Even the most junior member of the royal family. And what is his bodyguard? Was he interviewed? Did they ask him? If he knew what was going on, he must have stayed in the same house to protect the body of Andrew. So what does anybody know the answer to that one?
We haven't heard any close protection officer being interviewed.
Oh, it was, Charles. It was on the other day, on the television and on the radio, on the BBC News.
Right.
Or Sky News, rather, you know, on my radio station, on your station. So there's two questions there, but I think I would like to have an answer for.
Okay, we'll put that one out to the public then. Thank you very cool in there, Brian. 952-78-4000. Phone lines are busy this morning on this one. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Charles. It's Bertha again.
Good morning, Bertha.
Hi. I just want to put that gentleman straight. To use the word sympathy in reference to my call-in, I in no way have any sympathy for Andrew. He's always been an incredibly arrogant member of the royal family. I don't find him particularly nice person. I don't find him particularly bright. My concern about this is that nations and top people in nations are on a blackmail list. There are very strong links to Mossad. If you look at Ghislaine Maxwell's father, he was given a state funeral in Israel. He was a spy. He was a known spy. I don't think we can afford, as a nation, or any nation can afford to ignore the links to Mossad. I think that Andrew was an easy target because he's not terribly bright.
Yeah, Bertha, actually, when I said sympathy, I was with sympathy with your call, not with Andrew. So,
no, the man... No.
Oh, somebody else, was it? Okay.
It was the caller.
Yeah.
He used the word sympathy a few times to suggest that I was being sympathetic. I'm not at all sympathetic for grown men getting themselves embroiled in sexual scandals. It's you know, it's ancient, isn't it? What everyone is ignoring is the security risk and the manipulation going on in high places for a certain section of people in the world who are gaining power through blackmail. I don't think there's enough being spoken about that.
Thank you for your call in there, Bertha, again, live to lines as well. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello. My name is Felix.
Morning, and, Felix.
Good morning. I just thinking to myself, they're waiting on the call to come through. There's nothing gets the English more worked up than Israel and the Jews. Mossad, this program has suddenly veered into the whole Mossad issue and Maxwell. And I think Maxwell was a Jew. That's why he was buried in Israel. Mossad issue has been raised now about, maybe 10, 12 times in this discussion. And the real issue here is that Israel, the state of Israel, is the new anti-Semitism.
Well,
it used to be that the Jew was condemned and attacked as a wandering Jew.
Felix, this is a bit off subject, Felix. We're talking about Prince Andrew and sex allegations and not about... anti-Semitism in another program, but I really want to keep it on message with...
I'm talking about the raising of Mossad by many of your listeners in, and saying that Mossad was controlling Epstein. No evidence that Mossad was behind just about everything that's happening in the world today. No evidence. No evidence produced because it's not true. Mossad is actually the intelligence agency of a small country of an oppressed people who were being attacked time after time after time. The media, the BBC, is notoriously against Israel. There is a book out today, by the way, which will tell the true story of Israel and the Palestinians by Robert Spencer, who runs Jihad Watch.
Right.
It's called The Palestinian Delusion. And there is another event taking place about a million times I would say, a billion times more important than this Andrew story.
Well, we're talking about Andrew today, Felix, so
Let me little say here. I'm not on very often.
Okay, Felix, just quickly, though, please, because you're into the last... Go on, quick.
The event is in Madrid, and the event is the fate of the world, which is one of absolute terror due to global warming.
Okay. Thank you for your call in there, Felix. Right then, 952-78-4000, the Broadchurch here on TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain. Calling you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, John, from Los Feliz.
Yes, John.
Even more off track. Can anybody get me a contact number for Brian?
I've got it in front of me, don't worry. I just thought that as you called in, I have it, and I'll give it to you later, and I've got your number too. And thank you for that, John, yeah?
Okay, mate, no problem.
Thanks very much in there. 952-78-4000. Back for the last 14 minutes of Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always controversial. With Viewpoint, a quick phone call in. We're into the last, blimey, 10 minutes or so. It has been a very busy Viewpoint. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
This is Anna. Hello?
Hello, you're live.
Sorry, I'm alive, yeah. This is Anna from Marbella. I just wanted to respond to Sandy's condemnation. The way she condemned that young girl, I thought it was appalling. Ignores the fact that Epstein is actually a convicted paedophile. And then she turns around and seems to think it's okay for Andy to have sex with the prostitute. And yet she condemns the young girl. I think her moral compass is totally skewed. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Let's go to the rather large number of emails, etc. we've been having in the WhatsApps. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. Hi, this is from another Sharon. Hi, once upon a time, royalty realised they had a duty to be described in their behaviour and conduct themselves in a responsible manner in return for their highly privileged position. Andrew is not an ordinary citizen, and a duty to be discreet in their behaviour, thank you, and conduct themselves. Andrew is not an ordinary citizen, and as such, he needs to behave in a modest and responsible manner. Cookie coming in about she was flown in on private planes. I think that's due to the passport checks. It's all passing a note to somebody. Ken comes in. Money is the root of this. A few people will cream it. Virginia has already got $160,000 for her story previously. The Duke is naive and led by the lower brain, he says. This one in. Legal age consent in Florida is 18, so she was underage. And also, right then, arrogant member of the royal family. Which one isn't? As if the royal family is superior to anyone else, etc. Going to the emails. Having, this is from Michael, having seen the Panorama program last night, I think that Maggie Smith has a rival. The award for best acting performance of the year must go to Virginia Roberts. Caroline comes in. Morning. I don't care if anybody remembers, but when Andrew was just a very young boy, this is Caroline in Mallorca, when Andrew was just a very young boy, it was rumoured that he had a mental problem and he was slightly backwards. Always wondered if there was some truth in this. However, over the years, it seems that he was perfectly normal. Does anybody remember this? So that was that one. Leslie comes in with a quick one as well. With reference, this is regarding the Brexit. With reference to these meaningless slogans that the Tories seem to come up with every week, has anyone noticed that get Brexit done is an anagram of being exhorted, asking for a friend? Thank you for that one, Leslie. And I'm just looking through the other WhatsApps coming in. Truth should out. The truth will out. No hiding place these days to bury dirty laundry. So those are the WhatsApps in 952-78-4000. Sandy.
Yeah, I didn't denigrate this girl. I didn't call her a prostitute. You did. I said, call girl. She was doing a job and she was getting paid for it. And I don't have anything against call girls. There is a demand and there is a supply. If there's no demand, there wouldn't be any call girls.
9527 84000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning. Sharon from Alicante. I'm going to be very superficial for the last few minutes, Giles, if I may. There are bigger issues at stake here that Bertha introduced and a couple of others, and they do need debating. But I'm going to be really superficial and go back to thank Cookie and Peter for the points they made. I felt sick at some of Sandy's views. I think to say that, first of all, two doctors have knocked on the head. He's sweating. The doctor in the studio last week or a couple of weeks ago did, and a doctor writing to the Sunday Times said that this condition cannot exist. We're making a few assumptions about 17-year-old girls as well, that they're all mature and come from good backgrounds. Parents don't have to be separated for a child to come from a dysfunctional family. That lots and lots of 17-year-olds, more than I know than don't know, are immature and need help to grow up and support. So she may have two parents, but that may well not be one of their qualities. Coercion and blackmail, which she was clearly under coercion and probably blackmail, are illegal. So to say she had sex legally isn't true. And I could go on. I just feel that... And plenty of girls leave home. ISIS girls have left home, but they were threatening to kill people. This girl wasn't. She leave home to travel, to do this and that. Yeah, everybody has a sense of adventure when they're young. Boys often think that going to war is a sense of adventure. And maybe these girls, the ISIS girls, not making excuses because what they did was unforgivable, but this girl may have had a sort of mixed up mind, that she was half having a sense of adventure. She was immature, but she also knew that what was going to happen to her wasn't going to be very nice. So it's not a straightforward 17-year-old girl with a stable background and maturity situation. It's a far more complicated. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, for that one. John?
Yeah, going way back to the 60s, something that Sandy reminded me of, I worked for an organisation. It was a sales organisation, a direct sales organisation, and we used to employ an awful lot of young people, normally young girls, to knock on doors. And young girls, because they were more attractive to the people they were knocking on the doors for. But also, unfortunately, because I was at that stage, I was 17. The people that were running it were about 20 years older. They were about 37, 40. And they used to abuse these young girls abysmally. And of course, that was quite normal in the 60s for that to happen. Nobody actually viewed it differently. There was no me-we situation. So it does go on all the time there.
On the Facebook group, Elka's come in. Giles Brown, I totally support, in capitals, the female speaker on your show, Sandy. What an intelligent, logical woman she is. The Prince Andrew... Stop laughing, Sandy. The Prince Andrew... The Prince Andrew was not trafficked. Private planes, etc. They could have got anyone. This is about money. And I also agree with your speaker regarding sarcasm on TV, ruining public debates. No one gets a word in. I love hearing you all on TRE. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, it's Peter.
Yes, Peter.
Just as you're finishing off, quick story. My brother, who lives in Pennsylvania, used to live in West Hollywood, Los Angeles, and I used to go over and visit him. And in the block he lived in his apartment block, a couple of doors down, he became very good friends with and still talks to her now, Heidi Fleiss. Do you remember her?
Oh, Heidi Fleiss, the Hollywood Madam.
The Hollywood Madam, yes.
Alleged, yes.
Who now lives in Pahrump, just outside Las Vegas, where my family live and my brother visits now and again. She has alcohol and drug issues. And the stories that woman can tell will make your hair curl. Pre-internet, a lot of information out there, but that what she says and what she's not to be disbelieved. I mean, she lived the life. It's absolutely stunning, and don't think it doesn't happen. And a little bit of advice for you, Sandy, this Christmas: don't go out, get drunk, wake up next to a guy, and try telling us that you were just naive. So I'll leave you on that one.
Thank you very much for that one.
Christmas. You've just totally ruined her Christmas there, Peter. I can just imagine her going out and doing that.
Getting drunk? No.
Yeah, no, not getting drunk, and not the other either.
952 78 4000. For those who say that the age of consent is, this is a WhatsApp, for those who say the age of consent is 17, they're working together to safeguard children document, Her Majesty's Government, March 2015, the child is anyone who has not yet reached their 18th birthday. Child protection highlights that under 18s who are 16 or over are still legally children and should be given the same protection. So that is a statement from working together to safeguard children document in March 2015. Just seeing any more comments in online. We seem to be, apart from the person who seems to think, who has superimposed Rowan Atkinson's head underneath the girl's armpit. So if you're looking for the mysterious hand, that in fact it's like Mr. Bean's. I know it has to be. Yeah, it has to be seen to be.
Sent in Spain used to be 13.
Well, no, that's the in Gitanos communities. It still can be. It's 17 and 14,
it's
I believe.
It's now 16.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for showing me that one with me, Sandy. Indeed. Oh, right then, into the last 40 seconds of the show. Then closing remarks, panel. And your thoughts on where we're going to go with this one? Can you see Andrew flying to the States to face questioning by the FBI, Sandy?
I think there's no reason why the FBI can't fly to England if they want to talk to him. He's said that he'll comply with anything they want, so they don't have to send any subpoenas. They just ask for an interview, and I'm quite sure you give it to them.
John, your thoughts on this sorry tale, I think we could say, of degradation and sex in high places?
I think it'll disappear on December the 13th.
Right then. Looking forward to that. You know, John,
if Andrew's got any sense, he'll go somewhere very remote for a nice long holiday.
Sort of a small island where Ghislaine Maxwell might just
somewhere
be...
Somewhere like that. Yeah. Mystique, yeah. Or one of those other nice little private islands.
Or where they're hiding Epstein.
Okay, we've come to the end of another busy... Those bongos, thankfully, mean that we've reached the end of this edition of Viewpoint. My thanks to my guest, Sandy Lenton.
Thank you very much, Charles.
And John Harper.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice day today. Thank you, everybody out there. That was great.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
This program will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint is sponsored by Alonso and Arrow Solicitors of Merthyr and Manchester, successfully recovering debt for our clients for 13 years.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings, you look for deals, you wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.